Amen. But as a, and we're going to talk about it again tonight, but as a reference point for tonight's message, and I got to go quick, and I don't know how all this is going to come out, but we're just going to let the Lord help us. As a reference point for tonight's message, I'd like to briefly recap something we discussed a few weeks ago. For Jesus gave us this promise in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's given us power over the enemy. Somebody said amen. From this text and several more like it, we see that through the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we possess God-given power and God-given authority. And that authority, that power has been given to us. If you're a part of the series, if you've been here, you'll know what I'm talking about. But that power and that authority has been given to us in order that we would enforce, somebody say enforce, the spiritual laws that have been established by God's word. That we aren't to just go use this power and authority for whatever we want to use this power and authority for. But we have been given this authority to enforce specific spiritual, biblical laws that God has already established. Right? God is the one who established the laws, then he gave us the authority to enforce the laws. And there are laws, spiritual, biblical laws that have been established concerning our physical bodies. Amen? Concerning our minds, concerning our emotions, concerning our finances, concerning our families, concerning our marriages, concerning our ministries. On and on and on and on and on we can go. Everything that has to do with our life and our living, every conceivable avenue that is connected to us as human beings, there is a promise that is attached to that in God's word. There is a spiritual law that is attached to that particular area in God's word, and the Lord says, and I give you the authority to enforce that law in that particular area of your life. Somebody said amen. 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 So just as a recap, we need to understand this. And every blessing that God has given us, we have the authority to enforce that law in whatever area of our life that we need it to be enforced. Now, we enforce those spiritual laws, and God is bound by his word to cause those things to come to pass, right? And again, we have to understand, we're not forcing God to do anything. We're not making God do that which is according to our will. We are simply enforcing the laws that he has already established. He's made those laws available to us. He said, I did everything to cause these laws to be applicable to you, and now I'm giving you the authority to put them into action. Amen. So we need to refuse to accept anything less than what God's laws say we should accept. We need to refuse to live in a way that God's laws say we shouldn't live. We need to refuse to allow the reality of our lives to be anything less than what that which God's laws have promised us to have. Oh, hallelujah. If his word says it, then we need to put our faith in his word until it becomes a reality in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And so, with all of that being said, and if we taught a whole lot more on that, you can get on our website and listen to the messages. But with all of this being said about our ability to have the authority to enforce these spiritual laws, the specific law that I feel to look at this evening are the blessings that God has promised to us in regards to our minds and to our thoughts. The book says this. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now we understand he there is talking about humankind, not just males, male and female. As they think in their heart, so is he. So that's a law. Hey, this is God's word. That's a law. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The law is telling us that either for the good or the bad, either for the positive or the negative, as we think in our hearts, as we think in our minds, that is what we will become. Hallelujah. We will reap emotions because of what we think. We will direct the course of our life based upon what we choose to focus our thoughts upon. For as a man thinketh, so is he. And I can tell you what dominates your thoughts by what dominates your conversation. For the book says this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Whatever's in his heart, whatever he's thinking about, whatever he's dwelling on, he's going to talk about it. They're going to talk about it. Whatever is in their heart, whatever is in their minds, whatever is in their thoughts is going to come out of their mouths. That's why bitter people are always speaking negatively about everyone and everything. That's why depressed people always have a negative and sorrowful overtone to everything that they're talking about. Have you ever talked to a depressed person that was always talking upbeat and positive and thankful for the blessings of God in their lives? No? Have you ever talked with a bitter person that was always finding the good in others and giving others the benefit of the doubt? No. Have you ever talked with someone bound by hate that spoke with love and concern and gentleness? No. Have you ever talked with somebody bound by jealousy who only wanted to lift up others and encourage others? You've never talked to anyone like that before. Why? Because our speech simply betrays what we're thinking. And our life, hear me, our life will move in the direction of our dominant thoughts. Our life is going to move in the direction of what is dominating our thought process. For that is the law of God. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So will they become. So we are who we are, not necessarily because of who our parents were, but rather because of what we allow to dominate our minds. And it's been my experience that most people bound by bitterness or anger or jealousy don't always see it in their own life. Right? Sometimes they might and are just ignoring it. But most of the times they just don't see it. They think they're right. Right? We talked about some of this already. Even though it's so plainly seen by those around them, the individual themselves can't see it. Or they don't want to see it. So if you're brave enough and you really want to do what God wants you to do and be who God wants you to be, go ahead and ask somebody closest to you, hey, what do I talk about the most? And then allow them to be honest with you. And don't get mad at them when they tell you the truth. Ask them what you talk about the most. And then allow them to be honest with you. And if they tell you that, you know what, you're always tearing people down. You're always being critical of the church. You're always being critical of, you know, the ministry. You're always being critical of the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Or you're always being critical of family or friends or neighbors or whatever. You're always being judgmental. You're always negative. Then that's going to let us know that our thoughts are not where our thoughts need to be. Oh, hallelujah. And our thoughts are leading us down roads that we shouldn't be going down. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody good tonight? We're going, our thoughts are leading us down roads that we shouldn't be going down. And we can fix that by being obedient to the word of the Lord. Because the scripture says this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I need your attention right here. Gird up the loins of your minds. Now watch this. In biblical times, workmen and warriors and runners, they would have their robes hanging down and they would just be moving all over with the breeze or with the wind or whatever as they were walking. But when it came time to run, when it came time to do battle, when it came time to accomplish the work that they needed to accomplish, they would gather up that which was just going everywhere and loosely flowing everywhere. They would gather it up and they would secure it and they would tighten it. All of that which was just dangling loosely, they would tighten it and secure it because they knew that those parts of their robes that were not secure, those parts of their robes that were just flowing in the wind could cause them to get tripped up in battle. Oh, hallelujah. It could cause them to get tripped up in the race. It would cause them to not be able to accomplish the work that they needed to accomplish that day. So it is in the spiritual. For if we have thoughts that are just out there, if we have thoughts that are just blowing in the breeze, to and fro, back and forth, not secured to this book, if they're not tied to this book and fastened to the word of God, then those thoughts are going to trip us up in battle and possibly even cause us to lose the race that has been set before us. So he says, you need to gird up. You need to gird up the loins of your mind. Everything that's out there, everything that's just flowing, everything that is not secure, you need to get it secured back to the word of the Lord, so that you can begin to think right thoughts in your mind and in your heart, so that you can begin to think upon things that God wants you to think about. Oh, cause those thoughts to come in line with what the word of the Lord says. I really want to help somebody tonight. We need to cause our thoughts to be in line with what the word of the Lord says. The book says this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, for to be carnally minded is what? Is death. Carnally minded is death. That phrase there speaks of not just having, this is important, carnally minded is death. It's not just talking about having thoughts that lead us to death in the end, but to actually be dead while living because of those thoughts. Do you see that? So to inundate our minds with that which is carnal and worldly and fleshly, if that's what we're inundating our minds with, that is to cause us to have death already at work in our lives. Now, that can't be a good thing. So we see that it is impossible for us to think about, watch, listen, or in any other way feed ourselves with that which ministers depression and still expect to operate in joy. How can you feed your mind with things that give in to a depressing spirit or a depressing attitude, or call people and talk to people that will just feed the depressing spirit that is in your mind? You cannot cause and allow all of those thoughts in your mind and still expect to have joy. It's impossible. We cannot surround ourselves with gossip and negativity and pessimistic thoughts and expect to grow in faith. It's impossible because we're going to be thinking about all of those things. We cannot feed ourselves and take part in or condone that which is impure and still expect to live righteously and pure before the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So by allowing our minds to be carnally minded, we are still enforcing God's law. It's just that we are enforcing and allowing the effects of death to be at work in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. But we have a choice. We have a choice of what part of the law we're going to enforce. And we do so by declaring and deciding what we're going to think about. For that same verse gives us this law, Romans 8 and 6. For to be carnally minded is death. That's one law that we can enforce. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So to allow our minds to stay focused on that which is spiritual will in turn release all attributes of life to begin to flow and work. The other way was allowing death to work in all areas of our life. But now when we think and ponder and dwell upon that which is spiritual, we are allowing life to work in our being. Life speaks of growth. It speaks of renewal. It speaks of advancement. It speaks of energy. It speaks of hope and excitement and moving forward, all of which are going to be released into every part of our living as we continue to allow our thoughts to be governed by that which is spiritual. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, some people say, well, really, it's just your actions that determine all this stuff. No. Your actions are determined by your thoughts. Long before you ever act on something, you had the thought. Oh, hallelujah. But the verse doesn't stop there, for it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 again, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. We're releasing life. But then it says, it doesn't just stop there. It says, and what? Peace. So when we are spirit, how many need peace? When we are spiritually minded, that is what releases the peace of God into our lives. Now listen, if you're alive and have just an inkling of understanding of what's going on in our world, you will know that there is no peace in our world. There are no peace in our schools. There are no peace in our workplaces. There is no peace in our communities. There is no peace in our government. There is no peace in our nation. And yet in the middle of this world that is filled with violence and hatred and unrest, we can have peace. In the middle of darkness, we can have peace. In the middle of storms, we can have peace. In the middle of unrest and in lack, we can have a peace, a God-given peace. How? If we keep our minds on that which is spiritual, godly, and biblical. If we think about those things, contemplate those things. This is so important. Listen, we cannot just, hear me out. We cannot just pray and ask God for peace and expect to receive it. There's a law. We can't just keep doing what we want to do, living how we want to live, thinking whatever thoughts we want to think, and then come to church and say, God, I'm praying for peace. Give me peace, and expect God to give us peace. That's not how it works. There is a spiritual law that we have to enforce in order for the availability of God's peace to come flowing into our lives. And he's saying, when you are spiritually minded, you can have peace. If you're not spiritually minded, you can pray for 12 hours and never get peace. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's all based upon what we're thinking about. It's all based on what we're dwelling on. The book says it like this, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on thee. What's he talking about? Thoughts? Who is it that God is going to keep in perfect peace? Those whose mind is stayed on him. Now, I want to dig into this a little bit because this is important. That word mind there, whose mind, that word mind is a Hebrew word that means conception. Not necessarily in the tense of birth and that kind of stuff, but it's speaking of the truth that before anything can become a reality, it must first be conceived in someone's mind. Another word that would fit closely with this is the word imagination. Before something can be built, it must first be imagined. Right? In fact, the definition of the word speaks of something being molded into a form that has already been established. So you have this form that's already been established, and then you place something in it, and it molds itself to what you have already built, constructed. You imagined that parameter. You imagined that thing, and now whatever you're placing in it takes upon itself that form. In our minds, this building we're in right now, in our minds, we conceived what this building was going to look like. I mean, I drew on napkins and all kinds of stuff. And in my mind, in our minds, those that help with the process, we conceived in our minds what this building was going to look like. And then that which was conceived in our minds then became a reality of which we're all a part of right now. The end result was completed of what was first imagined in our minds. But that which is true in the physical is also true in the spiritual. Hear me, just think with me. For we are going to see the fulfillment of that which we imagine in our minds. Oh, hallelujah. We are going to see in reality, the reality of our life, that which we continually dwell on and inwardly contemplate. Whatever that is, we are building a form in which our life is going to measure up to that form. And the reason many times for why we're not seeing what this book has promised us we can see is because our imaginations, our visualization of what will be, and the framework that we have created for our future reality does not have its foundation on the things of God, the Word of God, the laws of God. For instead of imagining, instead of mentally framing and emotionally conceiving a future where the blessings of God are upon our lives and upon our homes and upon our marriages and upon our finances and upon our health, like the Word of God says that it is, instead of that, our imagination and what we see is a future of loss and a future of brokenness. Well, I just don't see how it's going to work. Oh, hallelujah. I don't feel like I'm connecting real well tonight. We've go into the future, and in our minds we see things not working out. We already visualize things as being broken and undone. I just don't know how it's going to get fixed. I just don't know what the answer is going to be. I just don't see how we could ever get this back together, or I just don't know how I'm going to dig myself out of this mess, or this, that, or the other. What are we doing? We are creating a framework. We are creating a framework for which our life is then going to enter into, and it will become reality. Why? Because we thought it. We thought it. Our minds. This concept, this visualization. Oh, hallelujah. And because of that, now watch this. We project ourselves in the future. We build a framework of negativity. Right? And then when we get there, our lives are forced to enter into the framework of negativity or brokenness or loss or whatever it is that we visualized and thought about. And then we get there and then we say, God, give us peace. God, give us peace in the middle of this. And God says, no, I can't give you peace. It is impossible for God to give us perfect peace in that future that we created with our own minds and our own thinking. How can God give us perfect peace if we have already drawn up negative blueprints? How can he bless that? How can he give us peace in the middle of that if what we have drawn up is already negative and broken and sorrowful and lack and dark? And then we want God to give us peace in the middle of that. And God says, I can't do that. If what we're believing is going to happen goes against the promises and the laws that God has established for us, and if we have already resigned ourselves over to something that God never told us we should accept, then it is impossible for God to give us peace in such a desperate, dark situation of our own making. You say, well, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to think about other things. Well, I'm in this mess. I'm the one that got me here. I realize this now, Pastor. And everything I thought of was negative and dark. And then that's what eventually my life got into. And I know God can't give me peace. So what am I supposed to do? Now you're supposed to think about what you should have thought about a year ago. You're now supposed to dwell on what you should have dwelled on 6 months ago. Even in the mess that you're in, you can put a halt by now thinking on things that align themselves with the word of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. What are you doing? You are building a new construct. You are building a new framework for which your life is now going to begin to enter into. And in that framework, God says, I can bless that one. I can give you peace in that one. Why? Because it aligns up with what my word says. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But too many of us are conceiving something into our existence that is outside of the promises of God. Why? Because of what we're dwelling on. Because of what we're thinking about continually. Oh, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Can we do that? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But we didn't finish with the verse because let's look at it again. Isaiah 26 and 3. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That word stayed means that our minds are fixed. They are fixed on the things of God. Our thoughts are rooted. They are grounded in the person, the Word of God. The law that has already been established in God's Word is that our emotions, listen, are going to follow what we think. Our emotions are going to follow what we think. I just don't like feeling this way. Then stop thinking that way. Well, you know, just these emotions and anger and bitter. You know, I just argue and fight and short temper and all this kind of stuff. And I just don't like it. Well, it all has to do with what you're thinking. Our emotions follow our thoughts. Oh, hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I just don't have any peace in my home. I just don't have any peace in my marriage. I don't have any peace in my life. I don't have any peace in my emotions. Well, here's the deal. The Word cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. If God promised to keep us in perfect peace, then that's exactly what He wants to do. But the same Word is telling us that in order for that to happen, there's something we have to do. And that is to make sure that our thoughts are totally and completely founded, rooted, grounded on the Word of God. If they're not, we're out in limbo. And God is not bound by His Word to give us peace. The book says this, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through what? The knowledge. There it is again, your mind, your thought, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Notice it didn't say grace and peace were multiplied to us because of how much we prayed. We know we need to pray, but that's not what it says. It says that they're multiplied to us because we're thinking about the right things. And we're having knowledge of the godly things and biblical things. And because of that, God says, I can multiply grace and peace to you. There's grace and there's peace, and then He says, I'm just going to multiply all of that. Man, that sounds good to me. I want some of that. And the Lord says, you can have it. It is absolutely available to everybody. You just have to do what I tell you to do. Oh, hallelujah. But how many know that's where the attention comes in? Because we want to do what we want to do. We want to think our thoughts. We want to think the thoughts we want to think instead of the thoughts God wants us to think. And when we think our thoughts, we get nothing. When we think His thoughts, grace and peace is multiplied to us. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Watch this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I'm hurrying. Philippians 4 and 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, the peace of God, this peace that we can have, that it passes all understanding. You cannot figure out how this peace can come into your life. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God is going to be in your heart. The peace of God is going to be in your minds. That's Philippians 4, 7. Then watch Philippians 4, 9. Two verses later, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians 4, 7 talks about peace in our hearts and in our minds. Philippians 4, 9 talks about the God of peace is going to be right there with you. Two verses speaking about having the peace of God in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds and ever-present peace. But those two verses are separated by another verse. Two bookends that both speak about this great peace. But there's one verse in the middle. And you know what that verse is? Philippians 4, 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these on those things. Sandwiched between two verses where God promises peace into our lives is the law that tells us to think about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report.
Oh, hallelujah.
Why? Because it is imperative that we are thinking about right things if the laws of God are going to be made available to us as it applies to the peace of God in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And here's what I think is so important from that verse. For Paul here lists all these things, and then he instructs us, and he says, hey, I want you to think about these things. You know what the implication is there? The implication that Paul is giving us is this. You have the choice. I want you to think about these things. You have the choice for whether or not you're going to do it. Oh, hallelujah. You need to rebuke that lie of the enemy that says that you don't have a choice about what you think about. Well, you just don't understand. These thoughts are so strong in my mind, and I just can't get them out of my mind, and I just dwell on them. It's just the enemy. He just plants them in there. No, he doesn't. Yeah, stop feeding them. Wake up in the morning thinking about it, going through your day thinking about it, at night thinking about it, going down the road thinking about it, contemplating, thinking. It's going to be bad. It's going to be horrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I ever going to make it? Man, this is going to be broken. This is all messed up. Come on, is that what happens? You start thinking it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It started off kind of small, but the more you thought about it, the more the enemy saw the open door. And when he saw you thinking about things that were not pure and holy and of a good report, he said, let me add a little bit onto that. Let me add a little bit more onto that. Let me add a little bit more onto that. And if I've seen it once, I've seen it a ton of times. Individuals in the church, they just have a thought, just this thought about somebody in the church or the pastor, them whatever, just a small little thought about, you know, they didn't shake my hand or they didn't do this or, you know, what was that look for? Whatever the case may be. It was just a thought. But the problem was, instead of saying, oh, that's ridiculous, you know, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Instead of doing that, they drove all the way home on Sunday kind of thinking about it. And I wonder why they didn't say nothing. I wonder why they didn't talk to me. And, oh, pastor walked right by me. Is it, you know, I just... He gave me this look, and I don't, you know, I just don't know, you know, what's going on? Now, what happens? What happens? It's an insignificant little thing. It was a harmless little thing. The problem is we started thinking about it. We started thinking about it, and the devil sees that, and he says, ooh, they're thinking about something that's not pure and holy and of a good report. So let me tack on a little bit. Yeah, and you remember 6 months ago? Come on, somebody. Yeah, that's what they did. Do you remember 6 months ago, pastor did this or that? You remember a year ago, what was, you remember that? I wonder if it was all tied in. And now all of a sudden you're at dinner and you're eating your fried chicken and you're thinking, yeah, I wonder if it was tied in. I wonder if they don't like me. And by Wednesday, you got the entire church hating your guts. Why even go back to church on Thursday? Everybody there just hates me. Come on now. It's exactly the truth. Why? Because the enemy sees that. The enemy, he adds on. He adds on when he sees us because he knows the power of thought and the power of what we're thinking. Oh, hallelujah. So Paul here is saying, he's saying, listen, he's saying, these are the things I want you to think about. These are the things that are good for you to think about that will keep you in a proper place for the blessings and the peace of God to flow into your life. But you have the choice. You have the choice. Nobody is forcing us to dwell on thoughts that are contrary to God. We make that choice. Nobody is forcing us to dwell on thoughts that are contrary to the will and the word of God. We make that choice. Now, just as a side note, it's an old saying my parents taught me, and I'm sure you've heard it. But, you know, the old saying, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. Anybody ever heard that? Okay, you can't keep the bird from flying over, but you can sure enough keep it from coming down and laying it in your head, building a nest and laying eggs. My point is this. Sometimes thoughts just go through your brain. Most of the time, that maybe that's kind of the enemy. Let me just do this and see what they do with it. And they'll just this thought. You won't even be thinking about it. And all of a sudden, just boom, zing, boom. All of a sudden, that thought just comes through your brain. I want you to know that's not wrong. I don't want you to take this. Well, man, I thought about that. I had that thought. That's not wrong. There's no sin in that at all. You don't have to feel condemnation or discouraged because you had that single thought. Where it becomes wrong is when we begin to dwell on the thought. When we begin to contemplate it, think about it, dwell on it. That's where it becomes wrong. And this is what Paul's telling. He's saying, listen, he said, these are the things that I want for you. These are the things that will put you in right standing to allow you to receive the blessings and the peace of God. But you are making, it's your choice. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And the moment we break those wrong thought processes, I'm almost done. But the moment we break those wrong thought processes, we've been thinking about all this negative stuff. We've been thinking about this, that, and the other, tearing people down in our minds, thinking about all this stuff. The moment we break that is the moment that the word of the Lord becomes applicable to us. When it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And once you do that, comma, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's he talking about? This? The will of God? The will of God as it applies to your life, as it applies to your home, as it applies to your finances, as it applies to your marriage, to your kids, to your job, to your future. To your health. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. The will of God, this right here, this will of God. And he says, when you transform your mind, oh, hallelujah. When you stop thinking the way you used to think and you begin to think the way God wants you to think, he says, you allow God to begin to prove to you, my word is true. My promises are right. Watch what I do. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you what I can do in your marriage. I'm going to prove to you what I can do in your home. I'm going to prove to you what I can do in your finances. I'm going to prove to you what I'm going to do in your health. God's you. Oh, hallelujah. We put God in the place where he says, I'm going to prove my word to you. Why? What did I do? I just started thinking right thoughts. I just started breaking the old habit of thinking about junk and that which was dark and negative and bitter and anger. And I started thinking about things that were pure and holy and righteous and of a good report. And I started dwelling on those things. And it put me in a place where God could say, I'm going to prove to you now. Woo, that I didn't lie to you when I told you I could do what I said I can do. I wasn't lying to you when I told you I could bring you up and lift you out. I wasn't lying to you when I told you I could give you a peace that passeth all understanding and joy that was unspeakable and full of glory. I just couldn't do that stuff because you were thinking wrong thoughts. But now I can because you've had a renewal of your mind. Woo, let's stand to our feet and lift our hands unto the Lord. You've had a renewal of your mind. Oh, hallelujah. You've allowed your mind to break free from the grasps that sin and darkness and lies and deceit were holding it in. And you broke out of that and you allowed your mind to be transformed. Now your imagination is that of that which is pure. What you imagine now is that this is going to be all right. Whereas before, what you imagined was it's all downhill and it's over and it's broken beyond repair. But now your imagination is God is in my present, but he's also in my future. Woo! And God's going to fight this battle for me. And I might not know how it's going to come about. And I might not know the end, but he knows the end from the beginning. And he's going to work it all out together for my good. And no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And I'm going to be victorious. I will be victorious through Christ Jesus. That is now the framework of your future. And it all has to do with how we think. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So it's still a little early. I'm just going to open this altar up. I just feel like there might be somebody